I'm Scott Kessler, and today I'm chatting with Kayreef Gabriel of the Philadelphia Daily News and Philly.com. Thanks for coming on, Kayreef.
No problem, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. We chatted with Dave Zeitlin recently about the Philadelphia Union, and it's nice to have another voice on them. What do you think about their recent acquisitions in the offseason? Obviously, Mondragon and Valdez.
I think that those two guys are definitely a huge pickup. Obviously, defense is where the team was lacking last year. I mean, this is a team that allowed 34 goals, I believe, last season. And obviously, you're not going to win a lot of games, you know, when you're giving up goals like that. So to bring in a guy, you know, a stalwart like Mondragon, who's, you know, seen it all. I mean, I think the guy has played in five or six different teams in five or six different countries. You know, he knows what to look for. And, you know, just board up with Valdez is definitely a huge plus for this club. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out, though, on the back line, you know, who stays, who goes, who gets shifted where, especially with Valdez looking to become the center back. But I think with those two guys, they definitely have a solid back line now.
Now, you were, of the Philadelphia writers, you were most in tune to the rumors. How were you so far, I guess I'm asking, how were you so far in front of the rest of the media on these Colombian transfers?
I just, to be honest with this guy, I mean, I really enjoy covering this team, and let's just say I do my homework. And a lot of it was just, reading a bunch of the Latin newspapers, and, trying to keep a beat on stuff coming up, especially, you know, with the transfer window coming up so soon, you know, a lot of moves were going to be made. So it's just one of these things where, you know, we have a really, really, really rabid fan base here in Philadelphia, and, you know, these guys know what they're looking for. And for me to be, you know, in the market that I am, you know, I got to come with it. So it was one of those things where, you know, I needed to be in tune and, you know, out there as soon as it broke.
Well, now we've been linked to another two strikers, one of whom, Jorge Perlaza, was recently brought on trial to Portland Timbers, but the other is Cesar Arias. Do you know anything about him?
I know with Perlaza, I mean, he's, you know, another, you know, Colombian, you know, football striker, plays for Deportes Tolima. You know, he's been around, I think, since 2000 or 2001. So he's been in, you know, he's been a professional for a while. Good speed, 25 years old, 26 years old. He's pretty young. So, you know, he can definitely be another plus coming in. I don't know much about, you know what he's done for those teams in terms of goals. I know he's been with Tolima now for a good 3 or 4 years since about 2006 or 2007, I think, and the guy's got, like, closing on, like, 30 goals. So, you know, another, you know, guy with a strong goal-scoring app, you know, like a Sebastian, who can't hurt. As far as the other guy, I'm kind of hazy on him, but I do know that he's definitely someone that the Union have had on the radar.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but Perlaza's actually about to sign with the Timbers, so all that knowledge went to waste.
Oh, really? So that was good to know then, I guess, right?
Right.
I know he was trialing with them. I don't know if he actually signed him or not.
He's expected to sign with them sometime soon.
Okay. There you go.
Well, supposedly his contract's up based upon a couple random reports throughout the Colombian media. It's really hard to get a gauge on a lot of those players.
It is true, and like I said, especially with, you know, transfers and stuff going on, it's kind of tough to know who's going where until it actually happens. I do know he was trialing with those guys, but I didn't know if that was something set in stone or, you know, where he felt in terms of, like, allocation and stuff like that. So
I don't think he'll be allocation due to his contract being up based off of the fact that he is able to go on trial. Mm-hmm. But I think that they were able to get a discovery claim in first, and that's why he's with them. Perlaza with the Timbers. I think they were able to utilize their discovery claim on him before the Union or something along those lines. Otherwise, he was so heavily linked to the union, I don't see why not for the union.
Right, right. I mean, MLS rules are so crazy. There's so many different loopholes and stuff. So, I mean, it could happen where, you know, if he does sign with them, then that's good. But at the same time, I think it's not set in stone until it's actually on the dotted line. So one of those things we'll have to wait and see.
Right, right. So you spent a little bit of time at practices.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of who us bloggers deemed mystery trials number 6, Aaron Wheeler, of his performance during practices?
I thought it was strong. I mean, I thought he, like you said, we talked earlier in the week, you and I, we really couldn't get a handle on him. But, you know, if he was a talk sheet, you know, he seemed like he played well, had a good soccer IQ. So it'll be interesting to see what our pans out with him. I think the trials I'm most surprised about was mystery guy number 1, who was Jeremiah White, who the team actually did not bring down to Orlando with him. You know, with his pace and his soccer IQ, it was very shocking to see that he wouldn't, you know, be joining the team or even being signed. So I think of all the guys that were in camps, you know, like a Keon Daniels, the Wheelers, White was the most surprising to be the one that is not, you know, going to be continuing a stay here with the team.
The speculation was that he was demanding similar level of contract that priced him out of a move to the Chicago Fire, I believe it was, in 08.
Yep.
6 figures.
He had a trial with Chicago. I actually tried to get in touch with his agent, Ryan Alexander, who hasn't returned any calls, just to see, kind of get a handle on his contract terms. But, you know, this is a guy that has played, you know, in Europe for since he was drafted in 2004 out of Major League Soccer. He kind of said, I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to test the waters overseas. And he's had a pretty, you know, successful career over there. So coming back to MLS, and again, this is all speculation here, I'm sure he thought he was worth, you know, a lot more than perhaps the union can afford right now. They did tell him, though, however, that there was a lack of roster spots, which, you know, I don't know how much you can actually believe that or take that with for what it is. But, you know, just seeing White play over the years and knowing his pedigree and knowing what he can do, like I said, I think he would have been a very good fit for this team, but perhaps that's why I'm not the coach.
For roster spots, I believe the MLS restricts it to 32 players for a preseason tour. So
correct.
That's probably why they didn't want to have an ongoing situation with the salary and then lose a different trialist. Seems like they were very high on Wheeler. I'm not sure about Daniels, but Gabriel Farfán, I think, is actually the biggest surprise out of camp.
Yep. Farfán has been playing very well. I'm sure it definitely helps to have his brother playing alongside him. I mean, he really didn't pan out in Mexico, but it seems to be doing some good stuff here so far for the union. I mean, you know, you got to, I think, again, Scott, that we're only about a week and 2 days into the opening training camp, so it's a little early to assess, you know, what guys are doing so far. But, I mean, last week at our YSC, I thought he had a very good week of our camp, and, you know, we'll see what he does here coming up in some of the scrimmages and with the 2 days that Peter's planning to host down in Orlando.
Of course, it's early, but as an American sports fan, I think jumping the gun is just in my DNA, like a lot of other people's, when it comes to the Eagles or the Phillies. That early preseason means so much, no matter how little it actually is.
Right.
So,
I do get what you're saying, but at the same time, I mean, Farfán's new to all of us, both Gabriel and Michael. I mean, obviously, the team played against Michael last year when they opened up their preseason scrimmaging with UNC. But in terms of Gabriel, I mean, he's still kind of a relative unknown here in a Philly. So, you would like to think that you know, these two guys are going to come in here and make an impact. I certainly think Michael is going to definitely make a impact, but, you know, it's tough for me to go out there and say Gabriel's going to be, you know, the next, you know, star. Haven't seen him play for all 4 days, so it's one of those wait and see kind of things.
So here's a question. I don't know if anybody addressed this, but when James Doyle of ZoloNation.com figured out that it was Gabriel, Michael's brother, he thought it was actually Michael because of the hairstyle preferences. Michael originally at the draft had the faux hawk going on, now shaved it off, and Gabriel has it. Did anybody ask them why they were trying to screw with people like Fabio and Rafael and Manchester United?
I don't know. That is funny because it's funny because I noticed that too. I noticed that first day Michael had no hair and Gabriel was a spot in the front. You know, these guys like to have fun with the media and with fans, and it's all in on good fun. I didn't think to ask that, but you know, you got to think if these guys are now playing for, or at least right now playing for the Union, which is run by Peter Novak, and Peter Novak himself is he's in a class by himself in terms of, you know, trying to keep things close to the vest and, you know, trying to keep you on your toes and not fooling you. So, you know, maybe some of that rubbed off on these two brothers, but or maybe they just, you know, wanted to have some fun this week. Because, I mean, if you look at them, the guys look totally, you know, alike. So I'm sure that's what they were doing, was trying to have some fun.
So a question that one of our readers asked is, let's see, MLS teams must carry three goalkeepers, one of which is a developmental spot and under 25. And
right.
He wonders, does this explain Knighton's departure because of McMath as a Generation Adidas player?
That could be assumed. I think that with McMath, you have a talented up-and-comer. You have a GA player who obviously now, comes free to the expense of the Union. And, I mean, being a U-20 national teamer, you know this kid's destined for big things. So I think with Knighton, you know, it's unfortunate. He definitely showed that he does have, you know, a spark from time to time. But, you know, if you're looking to be a successful team, you can't have, players who are, you know, who will show you, you know, quick steps here and there. You need guys who you know, do have that prowess, do have, you know, that skill and are up-and-comers. And then a guy like Zach McMath at just 19 years old, you know, doing what he's done so far, you know, it would be a shame not to have him compete, you know, for that number two spot right now. And plus, learning off Mo and Dragone can only be a plus.
Another question from a reader is, with the glut of midfielders that the Union currently have, may they try out a new formation such as the 4-2-3-1 that the U.S. men's national team employs, possibly with Mwanga as a target striker and Latu as a freelancing center forward or center attacking midfielder?
That's possible. You know, that's possible. And that's a great question. The influx of midfielders, I think right now, because Shane Williams, even though obviously he plays defense, is considered a midfielder defender. I mean, that's 15 mids now that the team has, which now, based on guys' strengths, allow you to try a bunch of different formations. The 3-5-1 seems to be the one that I was talking with someone. Seems to be the most popular. You know, you got a guy like Matu who can beat anyone in a 1v1 situation, and with, you know, a one with speed can also beat anyone. I think, you know, five guys across the middle and three guys in the back, one of those guys as a holding mid, you know, to supplement the D would be great. But, again, it's up to Peter. I mean, we've seen him go with, two or three different formations this year, mainly the one with, the four defenders across the back, using the flankers, you know, more as a, using the outside defenders, I'm sorry, as more of a flank role. So it really depends on what he decides. But I could see them, going with a bunch of different formations, mainly the one as popular now with Florida's national team.
The question we got most from readers was, do you think that the team is complete? They feel that there's still one or two people that they're going to bring in that will finalize the team and make people more at ease about maybe the forward depth situation or otherwise?
I talked to Peter before they left for Orlando. One of the things I said, are you done yet? And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, we're never done. This this team is ever evolving, ever changing. Guys are going to be coming in, guys are going to be going out. I think right now most fans can agree that based on paper alone, this team looks pretty good and looks, you know, miles better than it did last season. I think it wouldn't hurt to perhaps bring in another defender, you know, just to test out the waters there. I mean, it never hurts to have someone who's solid to shore up your defense. And now you have guys that you can trade with to bring in that top defender or even perhaps another forward. So it's a tough call, Scott. I mean, they look good now, but Peter's mind is such an enigma that, you know, you never know what to come next.
Now, on to a more general MLS situation. What do you think about the schedule? People are complaining that it's February 3rd, we got the schedule last year at this time, even though PPL Park wasn't even close to being finished. And there's really nothing out there, as Jonathan Tannenwald detailed in his latest blog post for The Goalkeeper, to really hold up the schedule.
It's one of many malfunctions with Major League Soccer. They don't do anything fast. Now, I'm sure a lot of television sponsorships and TV providers are probably in question. I do remember prior to MLS Cup, the commissioner was mentioning that Versus might be in play for TV rights. They're still trying to figure out another deal with Fox Soccer Channel and Fox Soccer Plus. So I'm sure that's holding it up, but you can't expect to expand your league to 18, 19 teams and then keep these franchises in limbo as who they're going to be playing and when. And conversely, attempt to have these franchises keep, season ticket holders excited and want to pay for tickets when they can't plan out what weekends they can go and see their team. So I think there's got to be a better way for these guys to figure out, an earlier time to release the schedule so teams can plan, so fans can plan, so tickets can actually be sold. But as of right now, they haven't figured that out yet. It's kind of crazy.
I've been trumpeting the motto of, if you want to be a big league, you have to act like you're a big league with media. And
absolutely.
And as you said, they really haven't been acting like that. They're not releasing schedule well ahead of time like every other league does. Doesn't provide beat reporters like you the ability to write columns, foreseeing fixtures well ahead of time. Like you said, it doesn't allow fans to plan out the season. That's what a lot of people are concerned about, where, they have 9-to-5 jobs, they have kids, and they want to be able to plan now, when I'm going to need a babysitter, where I'm going to have to allot my money in the future, and everything like that.
Absolutely. And like I said, too, it's like, it's the buzz for the union is so strong. They're close to selling out their home opener, which is still over a month away. But at the same time, these same fans who are buying these tickets and who are spending all this money, like you said, want to know, all right, well, I want to know if I can attend this game and attend that game. And they want to do it, more than a month before the actual game gets here. So it's one of these things where MLS really needs to sit down and evaluate, too. Yeah, it's great to have expansion and to show that you are, an ever-budding league, but by the same token, have to make it as such where you want to keep people interested. And I don't think as of right now that's kind of been the main concern. They can say it is, with all of their sponsorships and all the great things that they do in terms of the package plans and the stuff that they're doing with TV and sponsorships and Major League Soccer Works, stuff like that. But for the most part, it's the stuff like having a schedule on time and not having 50 million loopholes in your rules and regulations that are going to want to make fans realize that this is a legit league.
And as part of this whole mismanagement of the media, there was a lot of outcry about how the league said that there would be a major announcement coming out, and it turns out it was just that Red Bull Arena would be hosting the MLS All-Star Game, and then the communications people apologized on the conference call about it for not labeling it as a major special event announcement. And
it's but you know what, those guys, you have to look at that as these guys trying to build a buzz. If they say, you know, that there's going to be a huge announcement, well, you saw the Twitter feed after that was mentioned. People were speculating this, speculating that. They're wondering if they're bringing in, you know, Wayne Rooney to a you know, Major League Soccer, stuff like that. And then yeah, it's a bit of a setback when you hear that it's just that, you know, Red Bull Arena is hosting the All-Star game. But for 24 hours prior, you know, MLS had a buzz. And I'm sure, you know, that just comes with, you know, marketing and promotions. You're always going to have stuff, you know, going on like that. So that isn't a surprise to me. I mean, it's kind of what this league has always been. And, you know, it's something that actually kind of worked in their favor, if you look at it.
But it's odd that they would do it so close to the whole Guardian debacle over the transfer speculation with Gareth Bale, where they had the whole tweeting campaign, we'll release it in 3 hours, and then immediately after they released a speculative report, not even a confirmed one, there's complete outcry to boycott the Guardian, and then the MLS turns right around and does a very similar thing, but for a league instead of a newspaper.
Right. I don't know, man. It's one of those things where, you know, stuff is always being switched up in this league, and that was just one of the things where, like I said before, it got a buzz talk.